coming. Welcome, all of our moms. When you came in, you should have seen a table back here. I don't know if there's any donuts left because they looked really, really good. Oh, yes, there are some donuts. So please help yourself. I have told all the kids and the men whatever is left over after church, it's theirs. So please help yourself before you go. Also, moms, there is some notebooks back there. If I didn't get around to you, please take one. That is your Mother's Day gift. They have different Bible verses on them with matching ink pens. If you're like me, you like to have journaling and notebooks and stuff to write in, so they are back there. Also, I'm not speaking today. My husband is speaking, but I just wanted to read something. I thought it was really good. Some of you may have seen it. I shared it on Facebook. But I'm just going to read it to you today. So, Lord, let me be like the mother of Noah, who raised a righteous man in a completely wicked world. Lord, let me be like Jochebed, who raised a leader that knew you in a way the world could not make him forget. Lord, let me be like Hannah, who was brave enough to leave her child in your hand since he came from you anyhow. Lord, let me be like the mother of Daniel, who raised a son that prayed even if it cost him his life. Lord, let me be the mother of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that raised sons who refused to bow to the ideology of this world, even unto death. Lord, let me be like Elizabeth, who raised a voice crying in the wilderness and didn't discourage him from his calling, even if the will of God looked different in his life. Let me raise a world changer, even if it's hard right now. Let me raise a man or a woman who will tear down strongholds, even if it's exhausting right now. Let me raise a man or a woman after your own heart, even if it breaks mine right now. Let me be strong enough, brave enough, fierce enough. Let me pray enough, fast enough, be filled with the word enough. Let me be gracious enough, compassionate enough, and loving enough. Let me be the mother my children need.
Amen. Is that your desire to be the mother your children need? Maybe not what they want, but what they need. I mean, I think of many who have a lot of wants, but neglect the fact of what they need. And so we need to... Well, here we are, Mother's Day 2024. And for those, if there's leftovers and mothers, if you haven't gotten one, you're too late. She's already said the leftovers are for the men. No, I'm teasing. She said muffins, and I thought, well, I got muffin top. Does that mean anything? But can you believe it? It's Mother's Day, and it's already almost mid-May. As a father, I salute you. Today, we celebrate each and every one of you mothers. All the mothers say amen. I'll be the first to admit one day is never sufficient to thank you for all that you do. Would you clap your hands and say amen? I tried doing the FOMI duties. You know what FOMIs are. It's father, mommy. And I tried to be a FOMI. And Brother Tony, and I failed miserably. I lasted like a few days, and after that, I was like, this is over. I can't handle being a FOMI. And needless to say, I got a little bit in trouble because I forgot that I had to feed the kids. And they're calling me up and saying, hey, we need to eat. And I was like, oh, snap, I forgot. Well, let's run to the grocery store. No, we would need McDonald's. And so my wife informed me that I was spending too much money as FOMI. So I have relinquished my duties and have now turned them officially back over to their mother. And I'm thankful for that. Somebody say amen. I read the other day and I thought how fitting it is. And it's from a mother's point of view. And I think it goes without saying that it takes a very, very special person to be a mother. Being a parent changes everything, but being a parent also changes with each baby. Here are some of the ways of having a second and third child is different from having a first. Are you ready? Your clothes change. I know, I'm sorry. I'm reading something, so I'm going to be quoting. So when I said that, all you ladies looked at me like, I'm going to kill this guy. Be merciful. The first baby, you begin to wear maternity clothes as soon as your doctor confirms your pregnancy. Your second baby, you wear your regular clothes for as long as possible. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Your third baby, and I'm sorry, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. Would you clap your hands? Walking where angels fear to tread, I can tell it. Their clothes. First baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, color coordinate them, and fold them neatly in the baby's little dresser. Second baby, you check to make sure the clothes are clean and discard only the ones with the darkest stains. Somebody say amen. Amen. The third baby, you're sitting there wondering, can boys wear pink, can't they? Here's some of the worries. First baby, at the first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown, you pick the baby up. The second baby, you pick the baby up when her wails threaten to wake your firstborn. And the third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the mechanical swing. How many mothers know what I'm talking about? Somebody say amen. How about diapering? And I quote, first baby, you change your baby's diaper every hour whether they need it or not. Second baby, you change their diaper every 2 to 3 hours if needed. Third baby, you try to change their diaper before others start to complain about the smell or you see it sagging between their knees. Can somebody say amen? At home, first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the baby. You're looking and, oh, aren't they so sweet? They're so, look at them. Oh, they're sucking on their finger. And, oh, that's the beautifulest thing I've ever seen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You, the first kid, you're just enamored by the beauty that they have. Second baby, you spend a little bit of every day watching to be sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. The third child, you spend a little bit of every day hiding from the children. Mothers, again, I applaud you today. It's another article, 70 of the craziest things kids say to their parents. And I know you have reservations or food in the oven or, you know, you have a spa day coming up, Mama, so I don't want to be blamed for you missing that moment, so I'm not going to read all 70. Somebody say amen. I did find these, though, rather amusing. Four-year-old says to the mom, can we get a kitten? And the mother says, I'm allergic. We can't be in the same house. So the four-year-old responds, well, you can sleep outside. Then the mother and a six-year-old are having a conversation. Someday, you'll have feeling for boys, says the parent. The six-year-old says, I already have feelings for them. And the mother is shocked and says, really? Six-year-old says, yes, they make me mad. Six-year-old, why do bad guys always try to take over? Parent, the mother, they want to be in charge and make all the rules. And the six-year-old says, well, then why don't they become moms? Some of the men are sheepishly saying amen. I can feel the heat coming from the sweet mamas out there. I'm really scoring terrible on the point scale. Five-year-old says, I'm going to marry Noah. Parent asks why. He's handsome and I like his shirt. Well, looks aren't everything, says the mother. The five-year-old says, he likes to clean too. So the parent says, well, lock that one in then. Another article, what's the funniest thing your child has ever said to you? Autumn, mommy, I love you, but we seem to have our differences. Their differences was bedtime. Melissa, Mom, you may be 40, but you can boogie like you're 14. Mother, right after my second child, my first son would go around telling people he had heartburn. In other words, you know, so there's just all kinds of things. But Mom, Mama, Mother, Mommy, whatever your title is, we honor each and every one of you. All the mothers, would you please stand? Your work never ends and your love never ceases. All the mothers, stand and could you clap your hands in honor to the mothers? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I will readily admit to us today that there are times that I read the Bible and I scratch my head and wonder, what in the world did I just read? Anybody out there? There's times I read and it comes to life. I have a very, very vivid imagination. I grew up listening to radios and stories, and I could sit for hours and read a book about Chick Beaudry, the Texas Ranger. I can hear it all, the swords clashing. I can easily imagine the steam rolling off the soldiers' arms for sweat meeting the coolness of the night. If I allow myself, I can put myself in any situation. If a person is fighting and falling off of a cliff or climbing a mountain, my hands start to sweat. My heart rate goes up. I mean, if the one is sliding down the mountain, guess who else is? Jason Bourne right here. You know, I'm sliding down the mountain. You can go ahead in Scripture and read about Jael, the woman who was mightily used by the Lord to bring deliverance to Israel. It comes to life to me. And then there are those times when I read and I find myself getting maybe a little frustrated with the situation that's being presented before me. The thing that bothers me about reading the second book of Samuel chapter 21 is I really don't understand the why did this just happen. It's a barbaric story, to say the least, and I found myself being a little frustrated because I was reading it just like maybe anyone else, and I don't judge. How else are we supposed to read? We read from our point of view, from what we're seeing before us. Let me be clear, though, today. I have no issues with the author. The author, you see, of the Word of God, he has no rival. He has no equal. Don't get me wrong. I find no fault in the pages of Holy Writ. But make no mistakes. Humanity is frail and full of calamity. But the Word of God will stand forever and has stood against the test of time. If you don't know what to do, you can still find the answers in the Word of God. If you're backed up against the wall, I'm telling you, you can find the answer in the Word of God. Clap your hands and say hallelujah. You see, His Word, it's forever settled. And like the author, it changes not. The Bible. Your Bible, my Bible, it is divinely inspired by the Lord of glory. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16 reads, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 reads, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. How many are thankful for the Word of God? Somebody clap your hands and say amen. See, the Bible, it's written. The God-inspired words of the Lord. It expresses who He is, what He's done, and most certainly what He has accomplished and will do through this world, both in judgment as well with salvation. The Bible, the Word of God, it's been so graciously put into our hands. It's the only authoritative standard for our faith and life. We need the Word of God. I'm going to say that again. We need the Word of God. We do. You see, humanity may not know how to praise the Creator, but guess what? His Word gives us instruction in the ways to praise and magnify the name of the Lord. Is there anybody in the house? You're a worshiper. You're a praiser. You're not going to let anything keep you down. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. The Bible says it, and into His courts with praise. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. The Word of God, it teaches us how to enter into praise and worship. It is infallible, immutable, inerrant, reliable, clear, and sufficient. I have no problems with the Word of God. My issue is not with the author, but rather sometimes when I read, I just want a little more information. Amen. I would read a chapter and I'd flip a page, and then I'd read again another chapter and say, well, that's going to cause them problems later on. Flip a page and say, yep, here it is. They got you. I'd read another chapter and then shake my head at the lackadaisical ways that they would treat the mandates of God Almighty. And sure enough, another chapter turned and judgment would come. I'd ask questions like, why in the world did the Lord deliver these people from the hands of bloodthirsty, warring Pharaoh, give them promises of places, and yet once again leave it to humanity, and crazy always comes out? I mean, we're all a little messy, aren't we? Look at somebody this Sunday and just say to them, you're a little messy. That's war, I know. You're saying, on Mother's Day? Again, I have no issue with the author. But when I read the Word of God, I found myself maybe getting a little frustrated. Not just with the hundreds of this person begat this person and this person begat this person and the various genealogies with names that would stump the reigning spelling bee champion. But I found myself reading about a mother in Scripture who did everything within her power to protect her family. Is there any mothers out there that would do whatever it takes to protect your family? Clap your hands and mama shout amen. And again, maybe this text of Scripture we'll talk about, maybe decisions were made from a political standpoint. I mean, in my mind, David could have asked God to give a little more detail on how to handle the dynamics of the situation, but instead he goes to humanity to see how they wanted the situation resolved. It's messy now, and I hesitate to go into detail, for there are no recordings of her words of travail or her pain, simply her actions. Mothers, hear me, you know how to act when someone or something is messing with your babies. I mean, mama bear comes out. Help me out, mothers, I know. Believe me, I picked on my sibling, younger sibling, and my brothers tormented her to the point where mama would say, she's going to be your boss for the day. I hated that. I didn't want my younger sister that was only knee-high to a jump bug being my boss for the day. That was terrible, because whenever I'd say, I'd protest and say, I'm not listening to you, my mother or my father would say this. They'd say, tell them. And then my sister's put her hands on her hip and she'd say, I'm your boss, do it. I didn't want to play with Barbies. Brother James, I hesitate to even admit that out loud. But I was a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I grew up, I put away the childish things. But she'd put her hands on her hip and she'd say, but I'm your boss for today. I've even tormented my brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws a little bit, just kind of to poke the bear. I don't know what it is, but I every once in a while I like to stir the pot. You probably didn't realize that. But I'd like to get over there and I'd say something just to see my mother-in-law's reaction. Priceless. Absolutely priceless. I mean, mother bear, she's coming out. The claws are out. She's taking swipes. In my mind, I feel that. But mothers know how to step in and step up when somebody messes with their children. The backstory is this. When Joshua was on his conquest of taking the promised land, he was met by a group of people who made themselves to appear as though they had traveled far and wide to get to them and to plead their case of survival. Old clothes, you can read it, rags for footwear, moldy bread. They perfected the act because they wanted to survive. So they tricked, the Bible says, Joshua into making a truce with them and their people, only to later find out that they were Gibeonites who would become the next door neighbors, not by choice, but rather by deception. They are now protected by a covenant, seen by the ever watchful eye of the Lord. The Gibeonites, they were treated differently and made to work for the people of Israel. But then years later, King Saul, who had his own personal issue, he fights various bloodthirsty armies, the Ammonites, the Gibeonites, the Philistines, the Amalekites, and others. And unlike some single-minded kill or conquer all warriors, Saul seems to have both a hard and a soft side. He kills as many people as he deems necessary, but occasionally he lets some of his enemies live. Scripture says it, that he had conquered the Gibeonites who were under the protection by way of a generational covenant. Enter now David. Famine had vexed the land for 3 years. And year after year, the Bible would say it, that David would seek the Lord for direction on how to end this curse upon the land and on the people. It's then that during one of these prayer meetings, God lets him know. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1 reads, "Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David sought the face of the Lord. And the Lord said, 'There is blood guilt on Saul and on his house because he put the Gibeonites to death.'" And instead of seeking how God would handle this, instead of seeking God on how to even, handle the situation with the Gibeonites, he goes to the very people who were hurting. And we know today that hurting people hurt people. Somebody say amen. And we're going to pick up this conversation between David and the Gibeonites. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 21. And verse 3, "And David said to the Gibeonites, 'What shall I do for you, and how shall I make atonement that you may bless the heritage of the Lord?' The Gibeonites said to him, 'It's not a matter of silver or gold between us and Saul or his house, neither is it for us to put any man to death in Israel.' And he said, 'What do you say that I should do for you?' The Gibeonites, they said to the king, 'The man who consumed us and planned to destroy us so that we should have no place in all of the territory of Israel, let 7 of his sons be given to us so that we may hang them before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord.' And the king said, 'I will give them.'" Sounds pretty brutal, doesn't it? Verse 7. "But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Saul's son Jonathan, because of the oath between the Lord, and that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul." Verse 8. "The king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Merib, the daughter of Saul, whom she bore to Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the mountain before the Lord, and the 7 of them perished together. They were put to death in the first days of harvest, at the beginning of harvest barley." Again, barbaric to say the least. Somebody say amen. But it's Mother's Day 2024, and I want to encourage the mothers today to raise your voice in arms and in declaration that you will defend your family from the enemies and the work of this world. You will do whatever it takes to make sure your family's safe and to make sure they have a relationship with God Almighty. Would you, mother, shout hallelujah? Now, there are no recordings in Scripture of what she had said. None. Zero. I'm sure that she had protested because why should her kids suffer for the sins of the father before them? Why? And here's what the Bible states. No words, just action. That's how mothers are sometimes. No words, just action. 2 Samuel 21 and 10, and Rizpah, the daughter of Ahi, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven and not suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beast of the field by night. One translation reads it like this: Rizpah, the daughter of Ahi, took rough burlap and spread it out for herself on a rock from the beginning of the harvest until the heavy rain started. She kept the birds away from the bodies by day and the wild animals by night. You see, she couldn't remove the bodies of her boys because the Gibeonites wouldn't permit it. There was no way possible that she would allow the predators of the day and night to desecrate their bodies. The Bible says it. She spread sackcloth on a rock, a sign of mourning, a sign of repentance for what some will even say was a five-month period. You couldn't get her to leave. She stayed on that particular rock for 5 months. Some said even upwards of 6 months. She waited there day and night, making sure no bird, no vulture would come and fly and land on the bodies of her loved ones. Come on, somebody say amen. It's a little barbaric, I know, but it's in the Bible. So here's where I want to kind of relate this to us, that there is the ministry of Rizpah. Point number one was she was devoted. You see, she was devoted and she stayed devoted. Hear me, mothers, on this very Sunday. Stay devoted to your family when things don't make sense. You stay right there. Keep loving them. Keep support. Keep going after them. Clap your hands and say amen. Here's something else I found out about the ministry of Rizpah, and that is she stayed devoted to her family even when it was uncomfortable. In the heat of the day, she wasn't leaving. In the coolness of the night, she wasn't going anywhere. I'm telling you, mothers, today, you stay devoted to the family. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep fasting. Keep guarding. Keep going. Somebody say amen. Here's something else I feel I need to tell us today. The ministry of Rizpah has stayed devoted to the truth. Don't just leave it to a youth team or Sunday school teachers to put the doctrine in them. Model it on a daily basis. Mothers, you need to model the Word of God on a daily, daily basis. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. The Bible reads in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your heart and on your gates. Everybody say, teach them diligently. Say, teach them diligently. You see, diligently means to sharpen or to prick or to cut. It literally means to almost as if you would inject it in them. You would do it on purpose. You were purposely putting the doctrine in them. You were purposely getting at them and letting them know, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is. is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Clap your hands and say amen. She was purposeful. The ministry of Rizpah is she was devoted. She was purposeful. I'm telling us today, don't leave it up to somebody else to teach doctrine to your kids. Don't leave it up to anybody else to put the Word of God in them. We're thankful for programs, but the program won't save them. It's the Word of God that never fails. Never fails. There's another thing I found out about the ministry of Rizpah. And that is point number two, she stood against the predators of the day and night. Notice Rizpah guarded the bodies of her son against the predators in the day. Everybody say, in the day and at night. Hear me clearly today. And I understand we got a lot going on after service, but hear me today. There are predators that want to destroy and devour our children. Hear me. There are predators out there that want to destroy and devour our children. It's more than stranger danger and accepting candy from strangers. We know that. Don't do that. Look at your kids now and say, don't do that. Turn around and look at somebody else and say, don't do that. There are predators on social media. There are predators from culture. There are predators of seduction and temptation. There are predators of social status. Mama, hear me today. You stand against those predators and let them know you're not having my body or my kids. You can't have my family. So hallelujah. So Rizpah would do whatever it would take to keep the predators, the vultures of their time, to landing on the bodies. It was unfair. It didn't make sense. We don't understand why in Scripture. It's just what David did. He didn't seek God to act on judgment. He left it up to mankind to act on judgment. And mankind is messy. But here we find a one mother. She was uncomfortable. She didn't understand. But she did whatever it would take to keep the vultures and the animals at night from messing with her kids. Hear me today. There is a culture out there that is dangerous, and we've got to do whatever it takes to protect them. Clap your hands and say amen. We've got to stand against the vultures of our culture. I'm going to say that again. We've got to stand against the vultures of our culture. The world wants to dress them. The world wants to dream for them. The world wants to separate them and even confuse them. But mama, in this Mother's Day 2024, hear me, you stand strong. You take on the ministry of Rizpah and wave the predators off. Not today, not tomorrow, and not next week. We're standing, keeping the culture vultures away. Clap your hands and say amen. You see, it's our responsibility to stand diligently against the predators, against the devil, against the worldviews that want to undermine the godly values that you and I are putting in our families. I'm going to say that again. It is our responsibility to keep the culture vultures away and put the Word of God in them. It is our responsibility. At times, we got to lift our hands. We got to raise our voice and say, no, that's not happening. Happening here. It's a little quiet, and I understand it's a barbaric story, and you're full of donuts and muffins. But it is our responsibility to stand diligently and seek to guard and guide our families. Ephesians chapter 6:13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That basically means that there will be things that come against us. an attempt to knock us down or knock us over, but the Apostle Paul was quick to tell us that we need to be equipped right to withstanding in the evil day. See, withstand means, it means to stand against or to oppose. It doesn't just mean to kind of be like standing in the way. It means to oppose. That if something is coming against your child's mind, you push it out. If something's messing with their heart, you get rid of it. It's time we withstand the enemy of our day and get the ministry of Rizpah. Not today. It's not happening here. How many parents has ever told their child no? And they act like it was the worst thing they'd ever heard, the kid. They survived. I had parents, I'm a survivor of the spanking generation. I got spanked. I'm a survivor of the spanking generation where I got spanked. You can't do anything to my parents, so it doesn't matter now. But I tell you what, whenever I'd hear that statement, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, I knew they were lying. I mean, I had a spanking coming because I did something crazy. Imagine that. And I put on every pair of sweatpants that I owned. I had about every roll of toilet paper off the roll and crammed into the back of my pants. And if anybody knows anything about a JCPenney catalog, my father knew really quick that I don't have that much junk in my trunk at that age. Come on, somebody. But it is our responsibility to withstand against the enemy of our time. We need to stand up sometimes and push the enemy back. That whenever we think, if I say no, they're going to throw a fit. Don't worry about that. They'll get over it real quick. Well, I need to be my child's best friend. I'm the only friend they got. No, I doubt that. They're resilient. They're going to be okay. Some of the ones that were part of the spank generation knows what I'm talking about. You know it ain't going to hurt you. You're going to survive, and sometimes we have to say, no, not in my house. That's not coming through. You're not leaving like that. It's the ministry of Rizpah, because you see those things try to come in, and they steal, kill, and destroy. But there's got to be a mother out there say, no, not here. Not here. Come on, would the ministry of Rizpah, would some of the mothers shout amen? Amen. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, goodness sakes, that sounded weak. Some of you women, stand up and shout like you shouting that. Come on, would you stand to your feet right now and clap your hands and say, I'm going to make a difference. Oh, we got to say, not today, devil, not tomorrow, not next week. We're going to wave it off. We're not going to let it in. We're going to keep them safe. It's the ministry of Rizpah. It's time we start pushing back and opposing every thought and thing that the enemy throws at us. Here's something else I found in the Word of God that I think is applicable to where we are today. And it's in Scripture. Rizpah found her footing on the rock. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10 reads, and Rizpah, the daughter of Ahai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock. Many times we find it in Scripture our Lord being described as something. Deuteronomy 32 and 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. Deuteronomy 32, 30, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had been with them? For their rock is not as our rock. 1 Samuel 2, 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 22 and 2 says, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. Somebody clap your hands and shout yes. Psalms 18, 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I'll trust. Psalms 18 and 46 reads, the Lord liveth and blessed be my rock. Psalms 27 and 5, for the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon, everybody shout it. Oh, Jesus. No more donuts before. Oh, man, you get first stab at the donuts, okay? Psalms 31 and 3 says it like this. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalms 40 and 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Psalms 62 and 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, for when my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Psalms 62 and 6, that he only is my rock and my salvation. Rizpah found her setting place. Her foundation was the rock. You and I, we can find foundational purpose and foundational plans if we're settled on the rock, Christ Jesus. So, Mama, keep your foot on the rock. If we could all stand. See, I wasn't even going to keep you long. The ministry of Rizpah. It was an unfortunate series of events. Saul was the one who broke covenant with the people. And sons aren't responsible for the sins of their fathers, even though we might suffer the consequences of their choices. Not only was this execution unjust, you can read it through Scripture. There was a command that the law required a person hanged on a tree to be buried before sunset of the same day. Yet the Gibeonites were purposely exacting vengeance upon the descendants of Saul and their families. She couldn't stop their actions. She didn't recruit an army to respond. She just simply responded by standing and waving. She simply stood by fighting off the predators and the vultures of their time. It was unfair. Didn't make sense. More questions than answers, yet there was a mother who said, no more. No more. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect and withstand against the enemy and the evils of my time. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep predators from attacking my loved ones. Are there any mothers in the house that have that attitude today? Would you maybe grab the hand of your child next to you? And if it's comfortable, if you don't have any kids, why don't you grab your spouse and just pray over them. If you don't have your loved ones here, well, find somebody to pray with. Make them your loved one. I want you right now, if you could, would you just, with your own words, your own way, be like Rizpah. Stay devoted no matter what. Stay devoted no matter what. When things don't make sense, when things are uncomfortable, when things are unfair, stay devoted to the truth. Make sure you're putting truth, teachings of God in them. Stand against the predators of the day and the night. And although we're not speaking of actual predators, there are things in this world system that is predators and predatory in their actions and ways. There are vultures of our culture, and we got to stand against that. We got to keep them away from our family. Right now, come on, begin to pray over that loved one. Pray over your family right now. Come on, lift your voice and begin to pray with those loved ones.
I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory.
Sometimes that's going to mean you're going to have to say no. Not happening here.
So I will walk in your peace.
Sometimes that's going to mean you're going to have to be the bad one and say, can't do that here. Come on, let's just lift our voices right now. Jesus, right now, I pray. God, I pray right now for every mother that's in this very room right now, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, give them the strength of Rizpah. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, give them the strength of Rizpah. Give them a voice. Let them, Lord God, make a stand for biblical concepts and teachings. I pray it right now, Lord Jesus. Let them stand against and be willing to withstand the enemy. Oh, my God, I pray for bravery upon them right now, that they'll stand when others are walking away and shrinking away, Lord. Let them stand. Let them have the strength, Lord, to stand. God, I pray it right now. Let them feel the ministry of Rizpah to where they're founded upon you, our rock. We get our foundational teachings. Our strength comes from our standing. And I pray it right now, Lord God, that you will give each and every one of us the ministry of Rizpah. I pray that right now, Lord God, that we will not allow things to enter into our minds and our hearts for the protection of our loved ones. Jesus, I pray it right now. I pray it right now, Lord God. I pray it right now, Jesus. It doesn't make sense, but God, I pray it right now. I pray a covering upon our homes. I pray a covering on our minds and our hearts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. One more time, would you lift your voice all across this place and say, Lord, help me with the ministry of Rizpah. Come on, go ahead and just make that your prayer. Lord Jesus, help me with the ministry of Rizpah. God, help me to stand when others are shrinking away. God, I'm not willing to give my children, my family, to the vultures, the cult of our culture. I pray right now in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voice all across this place. In the name of Jesus, let it be done, oh God. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's lift our voices here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, give us the strength, oh God. Help us, O Lord Jesus. Give us the strength to withstand against the enemy of our day. Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Give us the strength to stand when others are walking away, when others are throwing in the towel. I pray, God, give us the strength. Give us the strength, God. Help us to find our footing on you, Lord. Lord, you are my rock and my fortress, my God in whom I shall trust. I pray, Lord Jesus, help us to find our footing, our resting place, our strength that's found in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let it be done right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let it be done. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord? Look at your mother and just say, I sure hope you got the ministry of Rizpah. Oh, go ahead. Say that to him. Go ahead. Look at that spouse if they're standing next to you, your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle. Just look at them and say, I sure hope you have the ministry of Rizpah on you. Folks, it may not make sense. You might be uncomfortable, but keep standing. There are things in this world that's going to challenge your home. There are things in this world that's going to challenge your children. It's a crazy world out there. It really is. And I understand that we may not have faced some of the things our kids are facing in this generation. You never had to hear a certain I never grew up hearing about fentanyl. Today you do. Well, I didn't have to worry about the internet. We had dial-up. And you had to wait an hour, it felt like, to get it. And that was later in my life. The only thing I had to worry about was stranger danger, really. Used to be able to play out until the streetlights were on. But today, we've got all kinds of crazy things. We really do. But every generation has been equipped to do what it takes to stand against the evil of our day. You see, think about this now. When Goliath and David faced off, the Bible says that he had a spearhead like of brass. But whenever David's older, there's a new generation of giant slayers that stood up. And it was his nephew. And he had to face a different giant with different weapons. And his spearhead was made of iron. You see, different giants, different weapons, but still empowered to take it on. You know why? Somebody kept putting in that generation, that next generation, you're going to make it. You can do this. And so it's up to the family unit to put it in them, to let our next generation know, to let our kids know you've got what it takes. One more time, lift your hands to heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray. Bless us and keep us and make your face shine upon us. God, be gracious to us. Pray a covering on our loved ones. God, I pray, bless this day, Lord, as we honor our mothers. Bless our homes and keep them. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Smile at somebody real big. And you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If there's any donuts or muffins in the back, ladies, please have them. Keep them from the chubby guy. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.